Amen. Fantastic. Thanks, Al. Thanks, everyone. Good morning. And it is a fantastic privilege to be able to speak to the Life Church family as a whole as we gather together. We're not doing it that regularly now, just six times a year. We're gathering, trying to gather all together as one. And when we do that, we are expecting that God is going to speak to us as a whole family. We're probably normally not going to speak just in our normal series. We're going to speak more broadly to the Life Church family together. And this morning, we've also tried to intentionally give some time at the end for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And I believe that I can say stuff, but actually the Holy Spirit wants to meet people right where they are this morning. He wants to propel us out into a new season. And at the start of this new academic year, I want to take the opportunity to go back to basics a little bit and look at the Great Commission. And whether you're in Heald Green, whether you're in Eccles, whether you're in Sale, whether you're in Stretford, whether you're anywhere else, what is God wanting to do through us? Well, very simply, it's a new academic year, but it's the same apostolic commission. All right, it hasn't changed. And I'd like us to read this together. So I'm going to ask if we can have the next Matthew 28, 19 to 20 up. And we're going to do it this way this morning, if that's all right. First of all, I'm going to ask those on this side to read Matthew 28, 19 to 20 to this side with as much conviction as you can. And then I'm going to ask this side to read it to that side, if that's all right. So I might just enjoy listening both times. I'm going to sort of take each side and receive from you. So if you would like to read together, that would be great. I'll help you start. Therefore,
go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end.
Very good. And you stayed pretty much in time as well, so I think you did pretty well. Now, this side, would you like to read it to this side? Therefore,
go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely,
yeah, fantastic. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples after he died on the cross and risen again. And what I want to do is just unpack some of these words and this statement a little bit for a short time this morning. And therefore, we start with therefore. And when we see a therefore, Mike Beaumont always used to say, we ask what it's there for. And of course, it's most clearly linked to the statement that has gone before. The statement that's gone before, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And so the background is Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Paul summarized it a bit like this in Philippians 2. When he was describing Jesus, he said, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, by being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory, is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The truth is that when we were powerless, Jesus Christ came into our fallen world and wrestled authority from Satan. He has defeated sin and death. And so the context is that all authority has now been given to him. He has more authority than anyone else you're going to come into contact with in this coming week, in this coming month, in this coming academic year. Whoever your boss is, whoever the different prime ministers and presidents are, whatever your doctor has said, whatever the big wigs in the school say, the biggest bullies, do you know what? Their authority is nothing compared to the authority of Jesus Christ. And so the context is that he has all authority. And the broader context is that Jesus is alive. He speaks to his disciples as the one who has risen from the dead. He's provided a way for his people to be forgiven for their past. He died on the cross so that each and every one of us, and not just us, but all the whole world, might have a place where they could be forgiven and they don't have to live with their shame. But actually, the past is dealt with. And not only has he done something for the past, but he's done something for the present. He's given us a power, a new resurrection life by the power of the Holy Spirit to live in us, to give us a power to make the most of life, to not just somehow survive through this next academic year, but to take ground, to disrupt a few things, to use Adrian's phrase, to go and make a difference. There's power to live by. And guess what? There's also hope. An eternal hope for the future. And therefore, because of what Jesus has done, because he's alive, because of this incredible authority, because of this amazing hope for the past, the present, and the future, there's something for us to do with this. And what does Jesus say to do with this? Well, firstly, to go. This was not just for the disciples. This was not just for them to go, oh, that's nice, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad you've given this and done this for me. It wasn't even just for those in Jerusalem, but for all people. And the truth is, we gather together to touch something of who he is together and to enjoy the privileges of being part of a family. And there is something that happens when we come together, when we encounter him and experience him. But it's not just for when we're together. It's much more for when we're apart, for when we scatter, for where we're going to. For where you're going to be tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning. This is what it's really about, because you know what? This isn't just for us. We've been given a responsibility, not just to stay in our cozy Christian bubbles. You probably, some of you will know the story in 2 Kings 7 where city in Samaria had been totally locked up, surrounded by the Aramaeans, and they were under this huge famine. There was nothing. They were all facing death. The end was nigh. And these four lepers who were at the city gate looked at one another and said, well, we've had it, haven't we? The whole city's had it. We might as well do something. Let's just go across to the Aramaean camp and see if they might just take pity on us and at least let us live. Because if we stay here, we're going to die. And so they go across the Aramaean camp, and to their amazement, God has gone before them. And there's no sign of the Aramaeans. They've fled and they've left all sorts of silver and possessions and food. And suddenly the whole situation changed. And they race in there. Oh, this is amazing. Look what we've got. Wow. Brilliant. And they take all of the silver and they start feeding themselves. And then they look at each other. It says, then they said to each other, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news. And we're keeping it to ourselves. And they went back to tell the others. This is not to be kept to ourselves. This is to be shared. This is a day of good news. The truth is, whatever you're going through circumstantially, and all of us go through all sorts of tough things in very difficult circumstances, but the truth is, this is still a day of good news. The hope of Jesus goes through every circumstance, every situation is above and over. And if you didn't have the hope of Jesus, whatever those circumstances were, it would make a massive difference. Every one of us has good news to share. So we need to be ready to go. And where do we go to? Wherever people are not yet disciples. When I got my A-level results, I was disappointed. I didn't get what I hoped I'd get. I had a bit of an excuse, I thought anyway, because I had mumps and I had to take them in bed. And therefore, the universities I was looking at suddenly changed. And I ended up going to Bangor University in my mind because that was the best I could do with the results I got. It wasn't what I had thought was the best place for me to go. Do you know what, though? 30 years on, slightly more than 30 years, I look back and I go, just imagine had I not gone. My life would have been totally different. I see how God's hand has been on that completely. He wanted me, I believe with all my heart, he wanted me to go to Bangor. I had the privilege of meeting Emma there. Actually, a whole lot of other stuff as well. Seeing lots of people come to Christ who ultimately have gone and served God in lots of different settings. What a privilege. In the end, I didn't know we were going to end up planting a church in Carnarvon and then planting a church in Bangor. And I look back and go, just imagine had I not gone to Bangor University. God had it in hand. I want you to think for a moment. Where are you going this week? Where are you going to be? Are you going to work? Are you going to school? Are you going to the school gate? Are you going into your street where your neighbours are? Can I encourage you? Assume you're not going there by accident. Understand it's in the purposes of God. You're going sent by him. He wants to use you. I want to suggest that you assume you're not in your workplace by accident, that you're not on your street, that you're not in your sports club, your school, etc., by accident. God has placed you there with this mandate. We're going there, and what are we going to do? Make disciples. That's what he's called us to do. Jesus' expectation is that we become a disciple of his, and then we make disciples of others. When he first called the fishermen to be his disciples, he said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, he said, come and learn from me, come and follow me, and then I'm going to do something. I'm going to help you to make disciples of others, make you fishers of men. Definition of a disciple is literally a pupil, a learner, an active follower, a pupil, a learner. That's what we're called to be as disciples, someone who's learning. An active follower. I like that phrase. Pete Fox, you're sitting on the front. Would you just like to stand up for me for 1 minute? Just going to do a bit of a visual aid. Pete, could you come and stand right in front of me? Thank you very much. If you can imagine, what does it mean to follow someone? Well, what could happen is I could say, I'm going to follow Pete wherever he goes. And if I'm going to do that, Pete's going to start moving. Guess what? He's not going to stand there forever. He's on the move. Where are you going, Pete? Yeah, you can go as fast as you like. And I'm watching him, and I'm going wherever he goes. And now he's coming around here. And if you... Yeah, I'm following you carefully, Pete, and I'm looking at you. And then guess what happens? If as he keeps moving, I suddenly think, I'm going to stop and talk to you over here. Guess what? Oh, no! How do I do it? I've started looking elsewhere. I'm not focused on what I'm really meant to be focused on. And he's away. I'm no longer following him. Do you know what? Thank you, Pete. You can sit down. To be an active follower means I have to stay very focused on him. And it's so easy to get caught up with other things, isn't it? It's so easy to start looking at other stuff and other things. And you stop looking at him. We're called to be his disciples, to be those pupils, those learners, those active followers. And actually, Jesus raised the bar for a disciple. With him, in many cases, it meant literal abandonment of home, business ties, and possessions. And in every case, it meant putting the claims of Jesus first. And this morning, I want to ask whoever is here this morning, are you a disciple of Jesus? I don't mean, are you a churchgoer? I don't even mean, are you a convert? Have you said, oh, please forgive me for my sins? I actually mean, are you a disciple? Are you a learner, a pupil, an active follower of Jesus who has chosen to lay down other things in order to follow him? Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And he invites every single one of us to lay everything down and become his disciple. We lay stuff down so we can pick the right stuff up, so that we can follow easily. We're called to pick up our cross. And as I was preparing this, I guess I reflected, and I reflected a little bit on my own life and felt a bit of a personal challenge, and I felt it was probably a challenge that was for a whole number of us, that for some of us, we have laid it all down in the past. But actually, along the way, we've begun to pick up stuff again. That's not our cross. That's not about being a disciple of his. It's all sorts of other stuff. And so now what happens is you're like, oh, I've got this, and I'm trying to manage this, and I'm still trying to sort of carry a little bit of what Jesus wants, and he asked us to lay it all down. When he said, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, it says immediately they left their nets and followed him. Following involves leaving stuff behind. So we're called to go, we're called to make disciples, and we're called to make disciples of all nations. What Jesus has done is not just for us, it's not just for our next door neighbor, it's for the whole world. It's not just across the road, but around the globe. And he wants to enlarge our horizons. It's very easy to become parochial and small-minded and not be able to see beyond our own little lives and our own immediate context. The privilege of part of being part of the people of God is that actually you become part of a worldwide family who are called to play their part in God's purposes for the whole world. And if we're not playing some part in reaching people from other nations, and especially nations maybe that are more unreached, then we're not fully fulfilling, the Great Commission. Some of you know, first time I ever spoke here, welcome to the aircraft carrier. It's like, this is not just about what comes in and gathers here. This is about what we send out. And whether that's about sending out to Heal Green, or whether it's about sending out to Kazakhstan, or whether it's about sending out to Ibiza, or wherever else it might be, wherever God wants to send people, we want to send. And all of us are called to play our part. And I want to say, first of all, for every one of you that tithes regularly, thank you, because you're playing a part in reaching the nations. It's helping us to send people into different contexts. I want to say for every one of you that prays regularly for people that are in different nations, thank you for playing your part and understanding God's heart for the other nations. Some of you will have been here when, just the other week, when Luke and Margaret spoke, and probably talked a little bit how they got hold of God's call. And I trust as you listen to that, you go, I think that's God. I think they're catching hold of the heart of God. And I hope, because certainly as a leadership, we've said, where we want to respond to that, say, we want to get behind this. We believe God's a part of this. We want to sow into this. We want to support you in the best ways that we can, because we believe you're engaging in this Great Commission for all nations. I love the fact that our young people have just been, some of our young people have just been in Albania, and to hear their stories as they come back and see the good that that's done them. One, just the getting out of the boat and having going on a bit of an adventure and finding, oh, God meets me in it. And two, because you suddenly seeing a bigger world. It's so good for them. And do you know what? It's so good for every one of us. And it may well be that over this coming academic year, God wants to take some of us into other contexts and other nations. Whether it's long term or whether it's short term, he wants us to catch his heart for the nations. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As Rich alluded to, we were due to have baptisms this morning, and a couple who have recently come to faith and said, yeah, we want to get baptized. Sadly, their kids have got chicken pox. And so I trust there's baptism coming in a few weeks' time and they'll get baptized then. And I'd love it if there were others that wanted to get baptized alongside them. That's what we're doing when we baptize people. We're fulfilling part of the Great Commission. Baptism should be one of our first steps of obedience to Jesus. It's not now I'm really mature, now I've got everything and I understand absolutely everything and everything absolutely in line, now I'm going to show my maturity by getting baptized. No, it's a foundational step. It's a first step. It's the picture that we give to the world that we belong to him. When we're baptized, we're stating publicly that we've turned away from a life of sin and selfishness and instead are living a new life in his resurrection power. We died to that old way of living. It's buried. It's washed. We're made clean. And the old life is gone. And we're raised a new person. It signifies something. It says, now we're living in his resurrection power. We've chosen to live totally differently, to walk in a different direction. We're choosing to immerse ourselves in each person of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to the Corinthians what many of you, in essence, pray when you pray the grace. You say the grace together. It says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 13, and the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We're called to be immersed in each person of the Trinity. And making disciples involves immersing people in the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship, the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. It's not just Jesus. It's not just the Father. It's not just the Holy Spirit. We need to be those that are immersed in the whole person of the Trinity, that we have that intimacy with the Holy Spirit, that empowering of the Holy Spirit, that awareness of the incredible Father's love. In some countries, to identify with Christ and his church is not a safe thing to do. I heard someone talking recently who had gone to a country and to teach people who had... It's a country that it was not safe to be a Christian. But a whole lot of people had come to faith, and he went to teach them and to just give them some of the basics and help them to learn to grow as Christians. And in that context, they had baptisms. And he found himself saying, are you going to be baptized today, knowing it may cost your life? And he said he was just humbled by the response, which he summarized as, Jesus is my Lord, and whatever he says, I do. And it's like, right at the start, they've got something. Jesus is Lord now. I'm following Jesus. I'm a disciple of his. He says, get baptized. I get baptized, whatever the implications. And that leads to how he says we disciple. How do we help people to grow? Well, we teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, Jesus says. First and foremost, we teach obedience to everything he's commanded. I debated, and I didn't in the end, rightly or wrongly, I'm not quite sure. I thought I might do something quite dramatic this morning. Now, I'm not doing anything very dramatic. But I did think about bringing a Bible with some scissors. And in front of you going, yeah, we'll get rid of this bit. Yeah, we'll get rid of this bit. Yeah, we might just get rid of this bit. And the reason I was going to do that, partly there wasn't a Bible that I particularly wanted to do that to, as you can imagine. I was aware it would potentially offend some people, but there was a point I was trying to make had I done it. And that is, too many of us live like that. We may not want to actually do the cutting in our Bibles, but we go, oh yeah, I think I quite like those bits. I like what he says there. I like what he says there. I think I'll take that. I don't really understand what he says there. And no, that's a bit difficult and that's a bit challenging. And that doesn't fit with what the world says, so I won't go there and I won't have that. And we'll just leave those bits out. We're called to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And as a church, this year, we don't want to get to a place where we just become, oh yeah, just come. Everything can be as easy as you want. Just anything that just makes you feel comfortable. Sit nicely. We just want people to feel at home and comfortable. We do want people to feel welcome and comfortable. But you know what? If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, it means laying things down. And it means taking up our cross. It means saying, I'm learning from you, not from the world. Huge pressure to conform to the world rather than the word. Sometimes we can say, oh, I haven't got time to read my Bible. And yet we've got time to watch all sorts of stuff. Guess what? Who are we a disciple of? What are we a disciple of? Not necessarily Jesus. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. My prayer is that I personally will just hungrily embrace everything he wants to say and everything he wants to teach me and say, you know best. I'm following you. I'm learning from you. And that I'll help others to do that in this coming year. And finally, Jesus says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. As we embrace living as a disciple and making disciples, we have the incredible privilege, wherever we are, of embracing his presence. We can't fulfill the Great Commission. We will not really do this without him. But with him, everything is possible. And if you're happy just going into your workplace and going into your neighborhood and going into and making no difference, then probably you'll be happy to live without his presence. But if you really want to make a difference, if you want to be those that are genuinely fulfilling his great commission, you'll know you can't do that in your own strength. You can't just do that just by being you. That your name, your presence, your abilities aren't enough. It's him. Bill Johnson said this, said, the odds of recovery change for every person in the hospital when you walk in with the presence of Jesus. The truth is, when you start working with a new company, immersed in the love of the Father, the grace of Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, you change the atmosphere. When you start welcoming people into your home, their future gets brighter. When you start talking to a mum at the school gate, you open the door to potential kingdom transformation. New academic year, same apostolic commission. Shall we stand together if we're able? I'm just going to ask the musicians to come back. And like I said, we wanted just to have a bit of time. I haven't given myself quite as much time as I hoped to, but to just allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. I've talked a bit, but there's space now. And so, Almighty Living God, the one to whom all authority is given, we bow to you.
pray right now that you'd loose the power and the intimacy and fellowship of the Holy Spirit amongst us. You know what's going on in each one of our lives. Thank you for the plans and purposes you have for every person in this room. I just want to encourage you just to wait on him for a moment. I know he wants to do things this morning. He wants to speak things. I just want to encourage you to allow him to come close. Thank you, Lord. Some of us have lost our confidence that we really can make a difference. And this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to reawaken that confidence that when you go somewhere, you can make a difference. Some of us have got caught up with other things and found our focus, our attention, even our hands have become full of other stuff. And this morning, the Holy Spirit invites us to lay things down. Some of us have settled somewhere and stopped really coming as a learner, as a pupil, as an active follower of Jesus. And some of us have never, ever really made a real choice to lay it all down and nail our colours to the mast and say, we're going to follow Jesus, no matter what. And some of us have allowed circumstances and pain and difficulty somehow to lose sight of the fact that we're still his ambassadors with a call on our lives. There's a whole number of people this morning that the Holy Spirit is speaking to. And actually, I don't want to make it easy. I want to, this morning, invite you, if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, to not just sort of go, oh yeah, I'll vaguely, quietly try and say something or respond to something. I want to invite you to come and stand at the front and nail your colours to the mast and say, yep, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me and I want to be someone who gives myself fully to him, who's not worried about what other people think. He's speaking to me. And I'm responding as a learner, as a pupil, as an active follower, as someone who's ready to lay it all down. And it may well be there are others, and you've started your Christian walk, but you've not got baptized yet. And this morning, you want to make that decision to say yes. I just need to take that next step and be baptized. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, would you come forward now, please? Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. There's more. Please, please. If you can't say yes to the Holy Spirit now, you won't be able to say yes to Him on Wednesday morning. Lord, keep coming. I'm going to pray for everyone that's standing here at the front in one moment, but I do believe there's still more. Some of you that are battling, please say yes to Him right now, because it will help you to say yes to Him in the coming days and weeks and months. Thank you. Lord. Lord God. Okay, we're going to pray. Thank you that when you sent us, Lord Jesus, and when you speak to us, you empower us and you meet us right where we're at. And this morning, thank you for each and every person who's heard your voice speaking. And I pray, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would give them grace and wisdom and courage to respond to what you're saying in all of its fullness. I pray against compromise. I pray against taking hold of something and then letting go of it. I pray by your Spirit, you would seal something in people's hearts right here and now. And I pray, Lord God, that because of the decisions that are being made here, because of the yeses that are being said, because of the repentance that's going on, because of the things that are being laid down, because of the responses that are taking place, because of the healing that you're loosing in people's hearts and lives right now, I pray in the name of Jesus for schools and workplaces and streets and neighborhoods to be different. Pray that many others would become disciples because of decisions that are being made here and now at this moment. We welcome you, Lord. Oh, Lord. May each and every one of us, each and every one of us, walk with a tenderness and an intimacy to you. Where stuff's had a wrong hold of us, would you break that off us now in Jesus' name? Would you help us to go free and to follow you freely? Where self-consciousness has had a wrong hold, I break the power of that in Jesus' name. Where peer pressure has had a wrong hold, I break the power of that in Jesus' name. Free your people to be your people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm just going to ask the musicians to stop for one moment. And in the quiet, whether you're standing at the front or whether you're sitting or standing by your seat, if you're able, would you just quietly, in your own way, say yes to following Jesus and say yes to serving Him where you go this week and the coming weeks. And Lord, I pray that you would take every yes and you would use it for the extension of your kingdom and your glory, that this good news would not stay here, but would go way, way beyond here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.